Let's pray, yeah? Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that we get to worship you together. We get to magnify the name of Jesus. We get to be about someone else for a day. We don't have to be bound by this, the tyranny of being about the self. Thank you. Thank you for this time where we can focus our gaze on you, Jesus. We welcome you. We ask you to be with us as we start this new series. May the words of my mouth, God, and the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto you. I pray, God, do something that no man can do. Change us. Transform us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We are going into a new series. The sermon title is Pastir Nostir. It basically means our Father. It's the Lord's Prayer. Everyone say the Lord's Prayer.
Lord's Prayer.
Now, if you grew up in the church, most of you know the Lord's Prayer. So it's something that is very important, as you know, to the church. The Lord's Prayer is kind of like God's big hits. It's kind of like, you know, if Jesus put out a record, this is his big record. It's the most prayed and recited words in human history. So even if you're not a Christian, this is a very important text for mankind. Does this make sense? And it's funny because Jesus also has what I would call his biggest hits when it comes to his sermons. And in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, you'll find Jesus' most famous sermons, the Beatitudes, the blessed are the poor in spirit. And then as he moves on later, he then preaches on how to be an authentic worshiper of God, how to pray, how to fast, how to worship. And sandwiched in between the Beatitudes and authentic life of worship, right in the middle in chapter 6, the Lord teaches his people how to pray. It's almost like the Lord's Prayer is like the backbone of the faith that he's called us to. The problem is we either forgot to pray it, or we don't really know what it means. Or it's become this rote repetition and recitation of spiritual words. But something bigger happens when we forget the power of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer should actually be called the prayer that the Lord taught the disciples to pray. It really should be called the disciples' prayer. The disciples' primary prayer. Some theologians will say that the entire gospel of Jesus Christ is contained in the Lord's Prayer. This is how important this is for us. But something gets unraveled when we forget to pray, or we forget to live into the Lord's Prayer. When I was, I was like six or so, I came to the States. And yesterday was Korean Thanksgiving, Chuseok, right? Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And traditionally, you know, you spend time with your family. So I took our kids, Michelle and I took our kids to see my dad and my mom. And the beautiful part of that is you get to hear stories about your culture and your homeland, you know, from your parents. And as my dad was talking, I couldn't help but grieve. Why was I grieving? I was grieving because I had such a hard time understanding him as he spoke Korean. There was a time in my life where my entire worldview was shaped by the language of the Korean language. Hello? There was a time when I dreamt at night, I would dream in Korean. Then all of a sudden, it shifted And I'm not saying it's bad entirely, but you lose something when you lose your mother tongue. My mind began to change, and I remember I started going to ESL, English as a Secondary Language classes. And when you're young, you usually adapt fast. I graduated before my older brother, and I would always make fun of him. You're a fob. You're still, you're fresh off the boat, or you're still on the boat. I used to always make fun of him. And I'd be like, I graduated ESL before you. And I did everything in my power to get rid of that language so that I can belong. But now I grieve as an older man. I go, man, there is an entire world that I'm missing when I don't know this language. And so it is with prayer. So it is with the Lord's Prayer. When you forget this language of prayer, especially what I will call the dialect of the Lord's Prayer, you lose an entire view of life. You don't see clearly. You see like a foreigner when you've been called to be a citizen of heaven. And that is a big problem. And so the disciples, knowing this, in Luke 11, it says, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. The disciples are like, if you're going to teach us anything, Lord, can you teach us how to capture back the language of prayer? How to connect with God? What do we say? What do we do? What do we feel? What do we think? I really believe that many of us do not pray because we don't know what to say. We don't know how to feel. We don't know how to posture ourselves. We don't know what's adequate. We don't know what's proper. So we end up avoiding communication with God, and it's to our detriment. So then, in response to the disciples' request, Jesus gives them this prayer. Now, what I love about this prayer is that it's short enough for someone like me to remember. And you guys all know I struggle with ADD. So by the time I cross Our Father, I go, what? But it's short enough. And he thought that this short prayer was enough for God's people for generations to come. How many of you guys know this is important then? I really believe God is going to do something in you as we examine the Lord's Prayer in this season. So we're going to actually go through line by line, sometimes word by word, just the Lord's Prayer all the way to our anniversary. Some of you are like, when's our anniversary? It's in November. Okay? It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. We're going to go all the way there. Amen? So let's do that. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Now, this is a different version for many of you. I grew up with Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, I grew up old school, King James style. But I really like this version. So I'm still getting used to it, okay? Many of you guys don't know this particular version, okay? But I really, and I'll explain to you later, hopefully in the weeks to come, why I picked this version. But corporately, we're going to practice this version. Even your kids, those of you that are parents, Eunice and the team in there are praying the Lord's Prayer now, exactly as put on the screen here today. Okay, let's read it out loud together. Ready? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. And do not lead us, see? And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. So what's the context? Why did he all of a sudden teach this prayer? Here is the context. In Matthew 6, right before he teaches this, he says, when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. The disciples may be asking this question to Jesus when Jesus is teaching this and saying, don't be like the Gentiles and don't just repeat words over and over again. Basically, you don't have to try to earn God's attention. Yeah? And so he's like, but this is all we know how to do. This is what our religion has taught us. This is how the Gentiles pray. This is how the Jews pray. This is how all spiritual people pray. We pray with repetition. We pray in rituals and we recite these words. How else do you pray? And why are you saying this to us? It's almost like Jesus is saying, you've been doing it all wrong. And we're sitting here going, okay, but this is all we know. Now, without knocking fervent, consistent, and persistent prayer, because I don't want to do that, and Jesus is not teaching don't pray. Jesus is teaching us that the Lord's Prayer is not just a practice, it's a perspective. Let me say that again. The Lord is trying to teach us something, give us a perspective through what he's about to say, more than just some words we can repeat. I hope you catch this. In many ways, this is a sermon and not just a prayer. So what are you saying, PB? Especially when Jesus says something like this, right? He says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Have you ever read that verse and thought, why the heck am I even praying? Huh? Nobody? Some of you are like, that's why I don't pray. You gotta pray. What? Like, what? Jesus, your Father knows what you need before you even ask. So then the logical question, why are we even praying? Because before prayer is a petition, it penetrates you first. The Lord's Prayer is designed to penetrate your heart. More than God needing to change or shift or answer something, the Lord is saying it is you that needs to change. It is you that needs the shift of perspective. It is you that needs reality and the goodness and the truth of God to penetrate you. And when you do not bask in this prayer, when you do not pray these words, you forfeit a chance to be penetrated with God's word and God's reality. You will live blind. Richard Rohr says it like this: people do not see things as they are, they see things as they are. Say that again, PB. Okay. People don't see things as they are. People see things as they are. And this is God's big problem with our lives. We see as we are. And God needs his people to see as he is. He needs you to snap out of this false reality and live in this revelation that God is real and that he exists. Do you know why we pray the Lord's Prayer? Because many of us, even though we profess faith, we don't live as if he really lives. And so the Lord's Prayer is a reorienting practice. It's more of a door that we enter than it is a discipline we practice. So the Lord's Prayer is a corrective agent. And the first thing that it corrects is our perception. Yeah? And this is how much we need it. This week, I want you guys to pray the Lord's Prayer every day. If you want to be old school, I want you to pray three times a day. Did you know that praying the Lord's Prayer was the first, how should I say this, was one of the first pastoral directives from the early church before the Gospels were even written? Did you know that? That the early church fathers thought, if we're going to practice anything, we need to pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day. This is the thing that we as a people recited and prayed and entered way before anything was even written down. Why is this so important? Because God needs his people to enter a different reality. How do you view God? How do you view God? Can I ask you that, guys? How do you see God? Your reaction to life will expose to you your true vision of God. Jesus says it like this. He says, when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. You know what we do with prayer? We see God like this. Some of you guys are, what are you doing, PB? This is supposed to be a genie bottle. Okay, I forgot to get one. What is it? Do they rub it three times? They do something, right, with the genie bottle? Jesus is saying, your view of God is like this. If I just rub it enough, if I just possess this, own it, and master it, invest in it, it will produce for me what I want. I'm going to say something that's going to bother many of us because it bothered me when I wrote it. Can I tell you? Prayer, at least the base of prayer, is not to get something from God. Prayer is an act of worship to God. Prayer is our way of saying, oh, I hope you catch this. Whether you give me what I want or not, you are our Father. And you still reside in heaven. PB, I was praying for this thing and this thing that I've been praying for and fasting for, I didn't get. I'm very bothered at God. Now, pastorally, Pastorally often just basically means nicely. Nicely, I would be like, oh, darn it. I am sad with you. Right? You didn't. PB, I've been praying for this promotion. And I feel like I deserve it. I worked hard. And I keep getting bypassed by my stupid bosses. And again, I got left out. And I've been praying and fasting for this financial breakthrough. And I didn't get it. PB, I'm mad at God. And of course, you know, I want you to like me. So I'm like, oh no, I'm mad at God too. God, I'm bad God. Right? And I'll be honest with you, life is full of disappointments, no? Yeah, so that's life. But it's how you respond after that disappointment to God that shows your understanding of God. This is so hard to hear because we grew up in a culture where God is the God who answers all my prayers. Notice that the disciples didn't say, teach us a formula of a prayer that will make sure that God gives us what we want. They didn't say that. They said, teach us to pray the way John taught his disciples to pray. Teach us how to see and connect with God. What's your take on it, Jesus? And then he teaches a short little prayer. You see, your time here, like Sunday, for instance, when we come and we worship the Lord and say, we, you know, the songs that we sang were so beautiful today, Jenny. They were so appropriate for the sermon. But they were really powerful, weren't they? And we're praying, and it's so easy when you are getting the genie to give you what you want, and then those words come up, and you go, that's right, you're my God. But the Lord's Prayer says, what? He's still that God when you didn't get any of it. This is why people who really believe God on their deathbed, even though God is not curing them of their cancer, can die praising the Lord. Because prayer is essentially worship. It is not first and foremost a petition. And this is why we pray. We pray not to get something. We pray to enter a reality which is Almighty God deserves my worship. You are worthy of my praise. Whether I get things or not, whether I get it my way or not, you are worthy, O God, of my praise. No? Yes? God bless you. All right. So what is the incorrect vision that the Lord's Prayer is trying to correct? The incorrect vision that the Lord is trying to correct, it's found in the first two words of the Lord's Prayer, which is, Our Father. This is a radical departure from how people prayed in ancient times. People simply did not address their gods or their God as Father, let alone Our Father. They addressed God as Almighty God, as King, as Creator of Universe. There were all these titles that they prayed with, hoping to catch the attention of the gods. But Jesus destroys, or is attempting to destroy, that false vision of the real God, which is what? That this God is far away, and that this guy is distant. This God is numb, he's sleeping, and he's ignoring us. So the Lord starts the Lord's Prayer with, I just want you to see how different it sounds for you when you say, Father. For some of you, you need an example. If I told my kids from now on, address me as the landlord of this house. Okay? And every time I come, and every time you need something, I want you to say, Dear Landlord. So I come in, and my kid comes up to me and says, Dear Landlord, can I have some food? Right? It's already created a mental universe in my child's mind about what kind of relationship I want to have with you. But then I go, don't call me landlord. Call me dad. Now, in our culture, just side note, that too has ruined a lot of things because dad became too familiar, right? My daughter's friends even, I might have to cut this out, but even call their parents by their first names, trying to be all close in that way. No. My wife and I have a favorite saying. We always tell our kids, we're not your friends. We tell them that because they think that, hey, dad, let's go do that. And anytime it gets too familiar, don't talk like that to me. Okay? And actually, it came to a point where one time I went from dad to, you now all need to address me as father. Remember that, honey? Right? And they were like, what? Really? I go, yeah, it's for your own good. And they did it. They didn't like it. But when I talked to them afterwards and we examined that time together, all of them said, the wording itself shifts how I look at us. So when the Lord says, our Father, he's saying, I'm trying to rescue you from this vision of God that is far, that is distant, and that is uninterested. When you say, Father, you who are in heaven, when you pray the Lord's Prayer every day, that reality is supposed to, you're supposed to be immersed in that. You're supposed to enter that. You are near. But there's another perception or vision that it also corrects. It corrects your vision of yourself. You see, many of you, or many of us, Jesus' teaching about repetition and begging is very relevant. Because we approach God as if we're a foreigner, as if we're an orphan. Come on, somebody. And we think that we have to somehow earn what? The right to pray these things. And the right to be in his presence and ask for things. We think we don't belong there. And what the Lord's Prayer does from sentence one is this, because of Jesus, this is the most rightful place for you. The presence of God. Because you are a child of God. You belong in prayer. You belong in his presence. You belong. When you pray, it is the most native thing you can do. It is the most normal thing you can do. When you don't pray, or when you pray in a way that thinks God is far away, that is the most foreign thing that you can do. You see, God is your Father, but through Christ, you are also his child. What does this do for you if you really stepped into this every day this week? So, when your vision is 2020, okay, as you pray the Lord's Prayer, something happens. You realize as you're praying, God, our Father who is in heaven. You realize that your vision of God shifts. You realize, man, he exists. He exists. God is real. God exists. My son recently, my son and I are doing these devotionals lately every night. And he loves to do the I know we're studying this, but can I ask you something else? He loves to do that. So I'll be like, hey, can we just go through this curriculum and then we'll talk about what you want? And then usually after we do the Bible study, he'll say something like, but how do you know God's real? I'm like, yo, we just did this whole curriculum together and we prayed. How do you know God's real? Instead of sitting there trying to convince him, right? I just tell him, let's just keep praying. Because in prayer, if God's real, you're going to get a revelation of him. Hello? And that revelation is that he's Father and he's very close. So we realize in the Lord's Prayer that he exists. We also realize in the Lord's Prayer, as our vision is shifted and healed, we now know and we now see that God knows and that God hears. You can put that up now. See that? Now our vision's getting clearer. Not only do we now know and now see that God exists and God knows, through the Lord's Prayer, we now get our eyes fixed and we're beginning to see that God cares because he is our Father. What happens if you pray, really pray the Lord's Prayer? I'm not talking about just reciting it, but really pray slowly and enter the truth of this prayer so much that all of a sudden now you know he exists. You know that he knows and you know that he cares. What happens? Your vision of God gets clearer and your vision of yourself gets clearer and you realize that you are his beloved. And that's the final statement there. You can press that now. Isn't that clever? Now you went backwards. I want you to look at that. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father. Man, you exist. I see it now. Man, Lord, you know. You care? I can't believe you care. You care about my situation, Lord? I must be so loved. How many of you guys know your prayer time would look very different if you walked in with this vision? Yeah? So, what does this all do? Your vision, how you see God and how you see yourself, begins to not only change your perception, it begins to change your posture. How you stand and walk in this world. You are a child of God. Let me say it this way. In Christ, this is Ephesians 3, verse 12. In Christ, we have bold and confident access to God through faith in him. Let me say that again. In Christ, we have a bold and confident access to God through faith in him. What does the Lord's Prayer do? What does it fix? It not only fixes our vision, it fixes our posture, how we approach God. Now all of a sudden, we don't come to God with our head down, or we don't come to God feeling like he's far. We come to God bold and confident. We come to God knowing that he's real, that he exists, that he cares, and he knows. It is only in this reality that you can actually find comfort in God. Because what you need in your world is not just answered prayers and not just getting things your way. What you need in your life more than anything is the comfort that comes from God's presence walking with you through life. Do you see, the Lord's Prayer is not designed to make you think that God is going to rescue me from all things. The Lord's Prayer is designed to show you that, man, I have a God that walks right next to me as I go through all things. He's not trying to rescue me. He's trying to make me resilient so that I can live this life in faith and not crumbling in fear. Sherry, you want to come up with the band? We're going to end today with some worship. Or Sherry's going to just play as I end this today, as I land this. Today is Abide Prayer. Today is Abide Day. And what that is, if you're new, we make space one Sunday out of the month to open up the floor here. We ask our intercessors and our pastors to come forward, and we open this space for you that want prayer to come up and get prayer. And we also leave space here for you guys to sit in His presence and pray for yourself. Pray yourself if you want to. And we release you to go if you need to go. So we're going to make that time for you today. Okay. But I have one more thing that God wants to fix. And there's this cool little contraption that, have you guys noticed I like to buy props lately? So if you look at that, this is a tool that optometrists use. And it's to help correct vision. Okay? And what's amazing is, first of all, that they sell this on Amazon. Because I'm like, how does anybody can just get this? But have you ever been to an optometrist that's good? I go to Dr. Park, one of our members' moms. And my favorite time with her is she sits me down and she goes, we're gonna get your eye clearer. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like a little kid. I'm like, yeah. This means I'm gonna walk out here with better vision and probably new frames, right? So I'm so excited. Then she puts this contraption on, right? You guys all know this, right? And what I love about that moment is I don't understand. It's like, for me, it's like magic. It's like mystical arts. Because she puts all these little lenses, and then she says what many optometrists will say. She'll say, one or two? One or two? Yeah? And then you go, I think it's one. I don't know. Do it again. And she goes, one or two? One or two? And you go, two. But she knows what to do next, because she knows that sometimes we don't pick the right lens. Come on, somebody. And I'll say, I don't know, but I think it's two. And she'll go, how about now? Three or four? Three or four? I'm like, oh, I can see the difference. It's three. She goes, yeah. How about five and six? Five, six, seven. Close your left eye. Okay. She does it again. Close your right eye. Okay. Here's what I realized about the Lord's Prayer. One of the first things the Lord is trying to do is correct our vision. So he tries to correct our vision and goes, hey, I need you. Hey, my Father or our Father? Come on, somebody. Oh, our Father. Who is going to rescue you to heaven or who is in heaven? Oh, who's going to rescue me to heaven? No, let's try it again. How about 3 and 4? Ready? Who's going to rescue me in heaven? Or who what? Lives in heaven. Who reigns in heaven? Why? Reigns in heaven? Use my name to get what you want? Or hallowed be your name? Use my name to get what you want, or hallowed be your name. Oh, I think that one's better. Hallowed be your name. We realize that God is not only fixing our vision, but he also is aiming to fix our version of Father. Distant and far Father, or close and all-knowing Father? Oh, that looks very different. Who knows what you need before you ask? Or who needs to be awakened with lots of petition? Oh, looks very different, this world. Let's pray. Many of you here today struggle with prayer, and you're like, PB, I think I not only need this sermon and this text or this Lord's Prayer, but I don't pray enough. Often in church we'll say, well, pray more, or let's ask God to help you pray more. Here's my request for you. Those of you that struggle with prayer, I want you to ask God one thing today before you leave. I want you to ask God this: can you correct my vision of you? Can you help me see you better? Because those that see God clearly, you will not be able to make them not pray. They will be in prayer all the time. So if that's you right now, I want you to pray, God, you know I struggle in prayer, but it's not because I don't want to. I just don't see you well. So go ahead, ask him, Father, our Father, our Father, heal my vision of you. Heal my vision of you, Dad. Dad, heal my version of you. Often I think fathers are weak. Fathers are incompetent. Fathers are distant. Fathers don't care. Fathers are busy. Fathers have failed. But fix my vision and my version of Father. Let me see that you are good. Let me see that you are near. Let me see that you care. Let me see that you hear. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours, O Father, is the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Father, I ask you to bless our church. Give us a new vision and a new version of you. Purify our eyes. Heal us of our blindness with the Lord's Prayer this week. Every single person that enters in prayer with the Lord's Prayer this week, I pray for a supernatural grace, God, to see what you wanted us to see. And I bless this church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen.